Good evening. Welcome to the Solaire Report. Today is Thursday, June 7th, 2018. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. I'm in San Francisco. Beautiful, crisp fall days, but it's only June. Can you believe it? Anyway, but it's really been beautiful here for the last week. I flew in from Auckland last week, and now I'm flying back to Tennessee tomorrow. So after 7 weeks in Australia, New Zealand, and San Francisco, a trip to the West, I'm headed back to Tennessee for several weeks before I head to Europe for 2 months. Hold that date, September 22nd, lunch in Asheville at the Biltmore with Dr. Mark Skidmore has been posted. We're hoping John Rappaport can join us, but we can't promise. He may have family obligations. So you can sign up, head to solaire.com, and you'll see lunch with Catherine. And you can sign up. You need to make sure you log in to do that. That's subscriber only. October, I'll be in Europe for 2 months, then come back for September. Then I head back on October to speak at the Scientists for Peace. It's part of the Future Science series. Ulrich Groniker is there, and so I wanted to join her and meet some of the scientists she's been working for. So I'm looking forward to that. You can learn more about it at the website. It's going to be a fascinating time to be in Europe over the next 2 months, and then after I come back for a bit. Again, because of especially what's going on in Italy. So I'm looking forward to that. As you can tell, there's all sorts of issues between Spain and Italy as to whether the southern part of the European Union is really going to split out. We'll see. I continue to believe we're going to see the northern countries come together in a much tighter coalition because it just doesn't make sense for the so much of the governance structure and the currency of South and North to be integrated into one is what I've always believed. We had a great tea in the Bay Area. We'd scheduled a tea at Court Skinner's house on Saturday, June 2nd at 2 p.m. I just figured everybody'd be gone by 6. The last person left at 9:30 p.m. This was very much designed for subscribers to meet each other. That's really what they want to do. We had a great very short presentation from two attorneys who walked us through what the implementation of the repeal of the rules that had been promulgated sort of under the net neutrality framework and what that meant. I think that's very important. I'm going to be talking a lot about it in the second quarter wrap-up, and I would really encourage you to keep reading and learning about what's going on in that area because it's going to be very critical for your life. Very, very important. Another thing I wanted to underscore was that last week's interview was exceptionally well received. It was my interview with Amy Benjamin on the Many Faces of Secrecy. And I would, if you haven't had a chance to listen to it, the subscribers really found it very useful to understand and get an overview, not only of what's going on, but how to explain it to people who are still sort of lost in the mainstream. And of course, I wanted to follow up this week with Richard Dolan's excellent presentation from Uluru on the cost of secrecy. Our theme tonight is Give Thanks You're on the A-Team. I was going to have shadow work, and I'm going to bring up shadow work because shadow work is exploding. But several years back, I think it was 2012, the remake of the movie The A-Team was the movie of the year. And I also pointed out the last Bourne movie, the last one with Matt Damon. They both have the same message, and that message is there's no going back. Because there's no there. Basically, if you look at the system we're operating in, it's becoming increasingly inhuman, and the lawlessness is too high. It makes it an empty thing. There's nothing to go back on. And the message of both movies, and it's very much worth watching them to sort of understand this, is we have to make our own path, and we have to invent our own world. So I was just telling a marvelous ally of mine this week, look, there's Mr. Global's team, and then there's the A-Team, and everybody else is trying to sort of stick on the middle of the road, but the middle of the road is disappearing, and that disappearance of the middle of the road is going to accelerate, and you've got to decide which team you're on. Are you going to be on Mr. Global's team, or are you going to be on the A-Team? I'm watching all the subscribers grapple with how to navigate this separation, this divide. As you know, literally, some people in the family go to Mr. Global's team and some go to the A team. It's one of the reasons I keep pounding on two ideas. One is integrity. You really have to decide that you just, if you're going to be on the A team, what you care about is integrity. And that's it. And you don't care about what Franklin Sanders, God love him, calls they pine for the treats of the tapeworm. If you desire the treats of the tapeworm, whether it's prestige, title, fame, money, you know, then you're in trouble. If you try and stay in the middle of the road when you desire those things and not jump onto Mr. Global's team, you're not going to make it. But if you try and get on the A team while you still desire the treats of the tapeworm, or you still hang out with people who desire the treats of the tapeworm, you're going to get yourself run over and killed. You just can't. You got to pick. You got to choose. And on one side, you have integrity and a human pathway. On the other side, you have an inhuman pathway and all sorts of ambition for prestige, title, fame, money, etc. So, you know, everybody's very confused about this, but you have to get clear. You have to decide which one you want. And if you're on the A team, just give thanks you're on the A team. Be glad you're on the A team. I'll never forget when I used to try and warn people about the housing bubble from 98 to 2006 or 2007. And one of my closest allies would say, "Why is no one doing anything to try and stop this?" I said, "Wait a minute, I'm doing a huge amount." And she said, "Yeah, but you're nobody." I said, "I'm not nobody. I'm the former Assistant Secretary of Housing. I'm the former lead financial advisor to the Department of Housing and Urban Development. I have one of the top resumes in housing in the country. I'm not nobody." And she said, "Yeah, but now that they've kicked you out, you're nobody." Well, if you let your enemies decide who's somebody and who's nobody, you're toast. We have to decide that we're somebody, and the players on the A team are people we want to be with more than the players on Mr. Global's team. So we're going to have to get clear about which team we're on and which team we're proud to be on. And what I'm telling you is I'm proud to be a member of the A team. And if you live my life and you travel around the world hanging out with Salary Report subscribers, what you know is being part of the A team is such a fabulous experience. The people who came to Uluru, first group 22, second group 20, they got a taste of what it's like to hang with the A team for a week, and there's no better feeling. So, you know, you decide how important is integrity to you, how important is consciousness, how important is staying in a higher mind. I think there's nothing more important. I'll be talking a lot more about this with Dr. Farrell, particularly the next aspect that I want to talk about, and that is we have three things converging on us at high speed. And they have the potential to literally change everything. That's the repeal of the rules promulgated under the net neutrality concept, the implementation of 5G, which Jason Bawden-Smith talked about with us last year. We've talked a lot about it here. And then the invasion of AI, more and more micromanagement by software being implemented with AI without human intervention. I did a great book review, or Court Skinner did a great book review for me last year called Weapons of Math Destruction by Kathy O'Neill. It'll give you a great sort of feeling of what's coming, and I recommend it. But the repeal of the net neutrality-related rules, the implementation of 5G, and the AI invasion is what I'm calling. And what you've got is a ability through digital and invisible and telecommunication systems to concentrate and control people's time and cash flow at a level never before envisioned. You know, people talk about net neutrality speeding up or slowing down the train tracks, but what they're describing is a world where, you know, I pay more and my website goes faster as opposed to the guy who doesn't pay more and his website doesn't go faster. That makes it sound very simple. But imagine if for every second of content on the videos you watch, the content is speeding up or slowing down, depending on whether that what you're being told fits with the official reality or not. But this is going to hit in all areas. And again, I'm going to go through this a lot more in detail with Dr. Farrell. But this gives you the, or gives the system the ability to target, if you're a small business or a sole proprietor, target your revenues and find a way for bigger companies to take them away. Target your expenses, get you purchasing from them and not purchasing from others, and being able to micromanage speeds online and communication and on the internet to swing it from here to there. And then the same with your assets. It gives them the ability to invade, manipulate, and manage your assets. And then finally, regulatory and compliance. If you study the history of civil money penalties, of asset forfeiture, of international financial sanctions, of control files, think in terms of thousands and thousands of white-collar speed traps and parking tickets, the equivalent. It was very interesting, a story I keep talking about this week, of a physicist, a professor, who was arrested, it was this week or last week, for having sex with his basset hound. And you read the article and you think, okay, well, we know his basset hound didn't report him. How'd they find out? Was it through his TV? If you remember the terms and conditions I published when the digital TVs first came out, people were agreeing in the terms and conditions to allowing themselves to be literally videotaped through their TV. Was it the smartphone? Was somebody watching or listening through the smartphone, through his tablet, through his Wi-Fi, the smart meter? You know, or was it a neighbor, a vet? You don't know, but I'll bet you times to donuts. This guy was getting watched through his phone, his TV, his computer. And you would think if he's a physicist, he would be smart enough to know better. But I'm amazed how many people don't understand the extent to which you're carrying around a microphone that's sending a recording back to somebody who's looking to harvest you. I sat and talked with one person about this today. It's important to understand that the people doing this through their role as contractors to government and the intelligence agencies, so Amazon is providing cloud services to 17 intelligence agencies in DOD. The big telecoms are serving NSA and the government in many multiple ways. So all of your data is being integrated across all these different platforms and then being organized by AI and software to literally, whether, again, it's your revenues, your expenses, your assets or your time, to literally harvest you and control you and manipulate you, manage you. This is bottom-up fascism. There's no markets. It's just mind control and the equivalent of electronic herding. There's a group you'll sometimes see me post from them called the Targeted Individuals, people who are dealing with extreme electronic harassment. And it's interesting, if you talk to or listen to the Targeted Individuals, it's true that the intensity that they're experiencing is unique. But right now, I will tell you that there are 325 million targeted individuals in America that divide into two groups: people who understand they're targeted and people who don't understand that they're targeted. Our physicist, who was arrested for having sex with his basset hound, is clearly one of those. Curtis Mayfield said, he has a great album called New World Order, and one of the lines is, sometimes it feels like there's one way in and no way out. That's exactly what this invasion is going to feel like. It's going to involve massive shadow work. I did a piece in 2015 called Shadow Work, and I'll put a post up in the links. I suggest you take a look at it. If you look at the Saleri team's time, since I returned back to the United States Wednesday before last, I would say that I and my team have spent 70% of our time on shadow work. It's unbelievable. And that's simply the price of trying to tell the truth. The counterbalance, of course, is if you're me and you do what I and the Saleri team do, we get to spend our time with wonderful people. So, there's an interesting offset, because I have to tell you, being on the A team is much more wonderful. It's the place to be. But the reality is we're doing a lot of shadow work. And from everyone I talk with in the United States, the amount of shadow work here that everyone is dealing with is extraordinary, particularly in comparison to other places in the English-speaking world, Australia and New Zealand being two examples. So that's our theme this week. Give thanks you're on the A team. It is absolutely the place to be. Money in markets, the dollar was flying and it's backed off a little bit. It's trading at 93.38%, so it's up about a point and a half, 1.69% for the year. It's held the 92 line. Wow. The Fed is expected to bump interest rates again on June 13th, next week when it meets. All eyes on the emerging markets to see whether or not they're going to get into a bear trap squeeze. You're kind of seeing the exporting of inflation to the other markets and the tremors in the emerging market currencies. Fixed income, these, of course, off with the rising of the interest rates. TLT, the long treasury ETF, off 4.47% for the year. That's giving up about half of its gains last year. The intermediate ETF treasury down 2.68% for the year, and that's giving back its gains of last year. The bond aggregate down 2%, which is giving about a little bit less than two-thirds of its gains of last year. And then junk is down about 0.44%. So continuing to hold well. It had closed last year up 6.01%. Equities, the S&P is now up 4.35% for the year, so it's come back a bit. It's very much carried by the global 3.0 stocks and tech. The conservative defensive stocks have not fared anywhere near as well. The home builders now down 8% for the year. They flew last year up 31%. The European ETF almost flat. It's down 37 basis points for the year. It was up 27% last year. Germany down 2.82%. Again, Germany had a great year last year, up 27%. The developed markets flat. So that's developed markets minus North America. China's still doing well. The large caps up 5% for the year, and the small caps up almost 10%. And the emerging markets have backed off. I think that's fear of the interest rates, and they're getting into a dollar bear trap. Emerging markets now down 1.5% for the year. Commodities are holding their own. They're up 2%. Gold is flat, down 0.64% for the year. Remember, gold had a good year last year, up 21%, and silver down 1.69%. It was up 5.82%, and oil seems to be flying. So oil very strong. And of course, if you drive a lot, that's not necessarily good news. We saw the Board of Trustees for Medicare and Social Security release their annual reports. Not surprisingly, Medicare is saying its fund will be fully depleted in 2026. Social Security saying that its benefits will be fully depleted in 2034. In part, that's because they've been using disability as a major employment compensation or unemployment compensation fund, and the disability has been really putting a drain in faster. Before you hit the panic button, please read the annual wrap-up, the pension fund report. The PDF is available. You can get a hard copy of the story. You read the web presentation at pension.celeri.com. We thought this one was so important, we made it public. You can send it to your friends, but it was absolutely designed to give us political leverage in this conversation, because if our pension funds have been buying trillions of dollars of treasuries, and then that money turns around and runs out the back door, meantime interest rates go down to 0%, there's a financial engineering going on that I would say is criminal and certainly not in or under the law, certainly in violation of the law. And that financial engineering is one of the major reasons we're in this pickle. And not the only reason, but a major reason. And so, as I said in the pension fund report, if we can give the banks $27 trillion and we can disappear $21 trillion for a total of almost $50 trillion on the financial coup d'etat, surely we can fund Social Security and the pension funds. There are several new developments on missing money. If you go to missingmoney.celeri.com, where we have put Dr. Skidmore's report and all the supporting documentation on the 21 trillion of undocumentable adjustments. There's a new document from the Department of Defense. I've never seen anything like it. It's in the DOD column for 2017. It is a public financial, not so much statement, but report coming from the DOD, IG, and all the numbers are redacted. I have never seen such a thing. And the report, part of the name of the report is redacted. So it's hard to tell exactly what the name or the time period is, but it's clearly dealing with the undocumentable adjustments, and the fact that all of the numbers are redacted is just, anyway, if you want a breathtaking view, go take a look at it. Also, I watched a new piece of disinformation this morning. I consider this part of the hope porn. The line being trumpeted was that Donald Trump had succeeded in getting back $16 trillion of the $21 trillion that was stolen, and they were bringing it back into the country, and it was going to create lots of jobs. Now, what this means is somebody steals your equity from your home, your equity from your 401k, your equity from your Madoff investment account, and then they run it around the world and they bring it back and use it to hire you. And so you end up swapping equity for income that you have to earn again. Where I come from, they call that slavery. We're getting bought with our own money. It's quite extraordinary. And so the idea that somehow this is good and Donald Trump is saving us, I don't think so. So I think the repatriation will certainly create a lot of jobs. But the reality is, when somebody buys you with your own money, that is, in fact, we don't call that good. Not where I come from. There is a major G7 meeting in Canada coming up, the reports, of course, are that Trump is going to be very lonely. There's no doubt about it. The U.S. has canceled or tried to renegotiate, essentially the whole trade system that was built up after Bretton Woods. But between what Trump is doing on NAFTA, what he's doing with tariffs, what he's doing with canceling the Paris Peace Accord, canceling the Trans-Pacific Partnership, renegotiating more and more and more. It's certainly teaching the rest of the world how to cooperate with each other without us. But of course, the reports are that Trump is going to be very lonely at G7. It'll be interesting to see what happens. As I said before, when I mentioned my trip to Italy, if you watch what's going on in EU, particularly with the new government in Italy and now a new government in Spain, and what this all means to the banks. Remember, in Europe, the banks didn't stick the debt to the taxpayers the way we did here. And so the banks are still managing that debt position, as opposed to America, which is choking on the government debt while it's saying there's nothing for Social Security. Anyway, I think we're going to start seeing more reconfiguring of the northern countries into a tighter northern bloc without the southern countries. But this could be the year that something dramatic happens. I'll have a much better feel after I've spent a couple months in Europe. So more when I get there. Mexican elections coming up in July. The politics of Mexico have gotten unbelievably rough. One report I put up this week, we've had 108 mayors assassinated since 2006. In Mexico, when I was down there the other, a couple of, in the spring, the National Press Club folks told me their biggest problem is they're losing 10 to 18 reporters a year to assassination. So the politics of the drug cartel have gotten unbelievably rough, and my guess is that's far from just the Mexicans involved here. So we've got major transnational organized crime operating and doing this. But that's going to make the election even more interesting, because you have a populist clearly in the lead. So the question is, can he make it through? Of the 108 mayors that have been assassinated in Mexico since 2006, it's approximately 50 of them were serving, 9 were mayor-elect. And, so if you don't win the election, you just assassinate the mayor-elect. And then the other were retired mayors. So interesting. Anyway, again, as I said, I want to talk more in the second quarter wrap-up about the real micromanagement of personal and business revenues, expenses, asset, and literally freedom. I can't stress how important that is. And one of the reasons it's important is that the FTC sort of action goes effective June 11th. Now, certainly from what I've been seeing with R being blocked by AT&T, it looks to me like as soon as the FTC said they were going to repeal them and it was going to go effective June 11th, nobody waited. They just started to do it. Anyway, so I think I just want to stress that again. We'll see what happens. I'm not expecting anything dramatic to happen on June 11th. I think it's already happened, but I could be wrong. Let's see. But remember, the ability to differentiate between different packets of data when you have the capacity to do that at a nanoparticle level could be, you know, and things are invasive as it was interesting at the tea on Saturday with all the Salary Report subscribers. Everyone was talking about how if they're on the phone and they talk about a headache within 30 seconds, within a minute, they're getting ads, you know, on websites, they're getting ads emailed to them. There's a real compromise of their privacy in many really frightening ways. The VA, the Veterans Administration, has proceeded with a new law promising lots of opportunity for vets to go private. When the former secretary of the Veterans Administration left a month or so ago, he wrote an editorial in the New York Times warning about radical privatization. So I haven't had a chance to dig in and look at the law, but I'm concerned because what we don't want to see is a lot of money siphoned off for private profits and really cutting the benefits that veterans get. Well, Bayer has finally closed on its purchase of Monsanto, and not surprising, Monsanto's name has disappeared in the merger. Now, it's very interesting because Monsanto was a company destroyed by its bad behavior that finally turned around and translated into destroying its brand. And you literally have to see the assets are worth more without the name. And it wouldn't surprise me if that has sent a real chill throughout corporate America, who's getting more and more worried that consumers and investors might vote with their money. Swamp drama. You and I could spend literally, we could create a full-time job just trying to stay current on the Washington swamp drama. When I talked about Trump had to put together a war games team in the beginning of the administration, I never dreamed that it would become this wide and this deep. Anyway, but the Justice Department is becoming, it's a full-time job just watching what they're up to these days. They announced that they are hiring 300 new assistant U.S. attorneys, referring to the hires as the largest increase in decades, which brings us back to the question of what are the 25,000 plus indictments that have been built up since last fall. It certainly looks like you have created a world of potential indictments just sitting there, and they can't be exercised until you have the attorneys to prosecute the cases. So the combination of the indictments and now bringing in 300 assistant U.S. attorneys in addition to what you've got now says, okay, what's going to happen before the election? It certainly looks like something. And finally, very interestingly enough, we had the Justice Department announced that they won't defend the Affordable Care Act in the lawsuit that was brought by the 20 state attorneys. And that is going to have a deep impact on the individual markets. Who knows where this goes since they couldn't repeal and replace. Finally, the arrested today was a senior staffer on the Senate Select Intelligence Committee. Arrested, the allegation is that he was leaking classified information. You don't see senior Senate staff going after like that very often. So with that arrest happening and 300 new USA attorneys and 25,000 plus indictments hanging there, something is coming. It's something is really coming. And the question is what? As I mentioned, I posted in the article, Farrell had a brilliant description of what's going on in Spain and sort of the European Union coming apart. I posted it in the notes, but I strongly recommend you take a look at it. And some other great comments on the on what's going on with Trump being lonely at the G7. Heather Conley, Senior Vice President, the Center for Strategic and International Studies, says, America stands very much alone as they enter this G7. I think most of the major allies have concluded that, to be honest with you, there really isn't a relationship that they can build. That's ugly. The Economist had an article saying that Trump's idea of foreign policy by demolition wasn't working. Our hero this week are the Solaris subscribers from the Bay Area who came to the tee on Saturday. What a fabulous group of A-team players. They were so positive. They really enjoyed meeting each other. All sorts of connections. And one of my favorite people found a painting contractor. It was great. So, and I think I'm hopeful that I've talked one of the most talented entrepreneurs in our network into doing a wellness show series for the Solaris Report. We have the food series. Now we're starting the Future Science series, and I'm hoping we'll have a wellness series. But more on that one when everything is confirmed up. I'm looking forward. But what a great job I have. I get to run around the world and hang out with Solaris Report subscribers. And let me tell you, you know, it's A-team all the way. Our movie this week is a delightful movie. I had seen the trailer and hadn't been that eager to see it. But then when I was flying back from Auckland to San Francisco, I decided to watch it. Goodbye, Christopher Robin. It's the story of A.A. Milne's writing of Winnie the Pooh, which is the best-selling child's book in the history of the world. And it's a story about how to use our imagination and heart to rebuild family and happiness in a dark time. And it shows you the relief is perfect as to why you shouldn't care about the treats of the tapeworm, but instead should find something of great integrity that is deeply authentic. Because Winnie the Pooh was written out of something that was quite marvelous and quite authentic by an author who literally turned away from the treats of the tapeworm and dove into that which was real and that which was lovely. It's really a marvelous book, and it's told at a time when everyone was coming out of World War I, and if you think things are bad now, boy, that was the worst. So, lovely, lovely movie. I enjoyed it tremendously. Goodbye, Christopher Robin. I recommend it to you. Even if Winnie the Pooh wasn't your favorite child's book, you'll enjoy it immensely. Our interview this week is Richard Dolan's presentation, The Cost of Secrecy, which he prepared for and filmed at the Solaris Gathering in Uluru in the Australian Outback in May. It's a follow-up to my discussion with Amy Benjamin on the many faces of secrecy. So she really goes into an academic overview, really a framework of how secrecy is engineered, and it's quite good. She's done a very brilliant job of it. And then I had given Richard my Control 101 wrap-up and said, look, so much of these controls issues are being driven out of the UFO phenomenon, the black budget. Can you take this, read this, and integrate this into a presentation on secrecy, but come at it from your point of view, coming from the UFO and the black budget side? Which is really a different take on things. He does a great job of describing that in UFOs for the 21st century mind. And he's done a lot of good work on secrecy in connection with his series on false flags. And of course, we're hoping he gets that book finished either this year or next. So, The Cost of Secrecy, the 1-2 punch of Amy Benjamin on the many faces of secrecy, and then Richard Dolan on the cost of secrecy, is a marvelous, marvelous combination. And as I said, the last one was very well received. I think this one will be very well received too. Okay, ask Catherine. Hello, Catherine. I'm a big fan and very much in agreement with you on many issues regarding the financial condition of our country. Realizing that you are no longer with Goldman, I was thinking that you may still have relationships with others that are active in the capital markets, VC, investment banking, family office, etc. I really need some help in getting in front of the right person. Would you consider meeting for lunch to provide me with some guidance? I am in the middle. My investment advisory company is in the middle of a unbelievably time-consuming audit from the Tennessee Securities Division. And I'm in no, I really am in no position to discuss securities of any kind with anybody. I got a posse on my tail. And it's interesting, this year I was planning on shutting down the client business and was going to do it at the end of last year, but thought, no, I'll do it at the end of the 2018, because some of the clients were reluctant to have me shut it down last year. So I said, okay, and I budgeted a certain amount of time to do a smaller amount of clients this year. And then when the audit came in, it commanded all the time. There was no time. All the time I needed for the clients was gone. It was needed for the audit. And it's extraordinary in terms of workload. And it's, you know, you look at it and you think, this is just not designed to be productive at all. This is all, you know, it does not have a good feeling to it. And it looks to me like it's early software prototyping, you know, to play gotcha with investment advisory regulation. And having been a government regulator, I have no problem with government being tough regulators. It's one of the reasons I like the Tennessee, I've always liked the sort of Tennessee good government. At the same time, this doesn't feel like Tennessee. This feels like private contractors. Take a look at Peter Thiel's company, Planeteer. They're the ones who designed the software for the SEC. And you can see when you troll around their website and look at some of the different areas, the kind of compliance software that they are developing. And, you know, as I said, get ready for white collar speed traps and parking tickets, because it's coming. It's, you know, for some of us, it's here. I'm looking at other people who are having similar kinds of, you know, gotcha software design kind of audits, you know, and this is really ugly stuff and very expensive. Now, if you're smart and take it seriously and you have the legal and financial capacity to deal with it, you're fine, as long as you're clean as a whistle. You know, but if you've been playing around with your Basset Hound, you're in real serious trouble. Dear Catherine Austin Fitz, thank you for your continued work. You're definitely one of our American heroes. I subscribe to Jason Goodman's YouTube channel, Crowdsource the Truth, where he interviews fascinating people with relevant topics. Your work and knowledge regarding the financial situation is relevant, needs to be heard by all. I feel Jason Goodman is doing a stand-up job providing a platform for people like yourself. I and many of Jason's viewing audience would appreciate your appearing on his program. Thank you again for your good work. I've been a truck driver since 1980, exploring the highways of the universe. Yeah, I think you probably know I really like truck drivers. I will check it out. The one time I dove in when he was starting a show, I caught him at a time when something pretty nasty was going on, and he had a young woman who was extremely irresponsible in her allegations and inability to document. It was pretty scary. So that was my one experience, and I said, ooh, better stay away. But I will, you know, on your recommendation, I will check it out. Hello, Catherine and wonderful Slayer team. Our community, like so many others around the country, is aggressively rolling out smart meters for water, gas, and electric. It has been astounding to see the Sheriff of Nottingham tactics being employed. Yes, I know. Whew. Outsourcing of the work to out-of-state contractors who literally are going around intimidating and bullying anyone with who questions anything. Extortion-level fees being charged for those who ask to opt out, even if an opt-out is allowed, and in many cases, opt-outs likely are meaningless since the utilities can remotely activate anything they want, flouting of property rights and property easements. In short, flagrant in-your-face lawlessness. I have really appreciated your comments and stories about how powerful it can be to use the law. I love the abacus story. But for those of us who don't have $10 million to spend to defend their legal rights, it is difficult to figure out how to go up against the Sheriff of Nottingham, even more so when the actual sheriff in the community is a totally bought and sold member of the lawless establishment. Do you have any advice? One is to get somebody better to run for sheriff and organize the community to support them. That's what happened in our county, and it was successful. So that's one thing you want to consider doing. The second thing is, and it would help if everybody collected some good intel that would make sure the good guy won and the current incumbent sheriff didn't. But I think you also want to take a look at what just happened in New Mexico. Arthur Furstenberg of the Cellular Phone Task Force in New Mexico just got smart meter implementation stopped in its tracks. Now, I'm sure it'll come back again, but you might want to take a look at what happened in New Mexico, what they did, and how they did it. I think they were pretty able to get in and educate all the parties about how dangerous and how unproductive the smart meters could be. So, but I would take a look at it. I've had lots of people from New Mexico tell me about it, but I haven't had a chance to read all the material, but I'm convinced that there's something in there for you. Thank you so much for all you do. Catherine, do you know if birth certificates are traded at the New York Stock Exchange? If so, what are the implications? I have never tried to seriously investigate the different schemes being or said to exist in and around essentially using humans to collateralize the financial system. I'm convinced that something like that is going on. I'm also convinced it's not a very good use of my time to try and figure out and find it. Anyway, but that's a sort of wild guess. I think if you dig down and really look, you're not going to find anything meaningful. The most meaningful thing I've ever seen about the stock market, New York Stock Exchange, and the sort of questionability of the custodial systems behind it is the website that Patrick Byrne put together on naked short selling. You can find all of his material at the website deepcapture.com. So if you want to get very nervous about the custodial relations at the in the stock exchange without getting into using humans to collateralize it, there's plenty there, deepcapture.com. Then someone wrote in a long, very funny rant on the Utah's efforts to get kids vaccinated. And it's, a lot of good stuff in there. Several times we've put together collections of the best materials on vaccinations if you're trying to persuade your relatives, your kids, your grandkids, your parents not to load up on this stuff. And you'll be able to find, once we pull a full library up, if you just do a search on vaccines, you'll be able to find it. But there's no doubt that if you look at the invasiveness and the push towards mandated vaccines, and it's not just mandating them, it's the schedules. One person said to me yesterday that one of the schedules they looked at was 80 vaccinations before a pretty young age. And I've tried for years to figure out what this is, why they're doing this, and I'm convinced that the health ramifications are very, very dangerous. Someone sent in a lot of great links on the sort of credit card fraud, and credit card servicing fraud. And so I'll put those are very interesting. I'll put those in the notes. Hi, Catherine. Thank you for your helpful reply to my December 2017 question regarding the future of gold mining operations. Seeing the highly questionable arrests and subsequent imprisonment of Tommy Robinson in the UK, do you consider this to be orchestrated by the various people in power involved in pedophilia? I think you hammered the nail on the head when you speak about how the establishment is getting scared and this being brought out into the open and independent media is a game changer. All the best. By the way, the new website is great. link is below if this is new info to you. And then there's a link on the Tommy Robinson arrest. I just made a command decision. I'm not going to dive in and figure out what's going on there. I think the story is a little bit more complicated, but the reality is there's some kind of entanglement going on, and Robinson has really gotten under the skin of the establishment. And I think part of it is, they're afraid, but I also think part of it is that there's certain kinds of legal process where you're really not supposed to do the kind of transparency he's doing. And it may not be for all the wrong reasons. I just don't know without diving in. But he's clearly gotten under somebody's skin pretty badly. And it's too bad, because I think it's worse for the British to be viewed as harsh on this one. So there's some kind of entanglement going on. And I'm very... one thing I hate about the swamp drama is the names that everybody's calling back and forth. You know, a white supremacist. That's all yah-yah. Anyway, so there's some kind of entanglement going on, and it's unfortunate because I think it's making the Brits look bad no matter what the truth is. Okay, that's it for this week. Next week, a wonderful interview with John Rappaport, Harry Blaser. Harry said, I want to sit down and get together. I know in many of your different interviews, you've talked about what John's cosmology is and what he believes, but I want to sit down in one interview and go through all of it with John. Harry is a great admirer of John's work, and he did a sensational job of getting John to sort of talk about the cosmology of John Rappaport. And for we have many, many John Rappaport fans in our subscribers, so I think you're really going to enjoy having it collected all in one place by Harry Blaser. Very juicy. Then June 21st, I'm going to do an interview with Rob Kirby. Lots of questions on the missing money. How could that much money go missing? Where would the money come from? Who financed it? Lots of questions about the nuts and bolts. How come we don't have hyperinflation if that much money's been created? So because obviously we don't have trustworthy financial statements, there's no way to know. But so I decided to call this Missing Money, How Would We Write the Movie? If Rob Kirby and I were movie writers and we were going to make a list of all the feasible ways you could finance $21 trillion and then engineer it without hyperinflation, how would you do it? What are the feasible ways? And then sit down and say, okay, well, if we're really writing a movie, which ones would we use? So we're going to have a very creative In the Invention Room discussion to help you understand how it's possible. And again, given the state of the financial statements, there's no way to tell the truth of how much money is really missing or how it was financed. But we can certainly get our minds around the possibilities, which I think are very, very many and much bigger than many other people think is possible. And then July 2nd, we start the second quarter wrap-up. The Rise of the Asian Consumer is our theme, and it's absolutely fascinating. I've been working, researching this, and of course, we all know that the rise of the Asian middle class is going to be a huge sort of pig going through the global economy snake. And it's not like that's a big dark secret, but I'm amazed at how much of this phenomena really is being treated silently. There's no serious discussion of what's up and how it's going to happen that I see in the sort of, in either team, Mr. Global's team or the certainly the corporations who are marketing to consumers are talking about it. But you really don't see the media grappling with the phenomenon at all. And it's absolutely fascinating. I think this is going to be one of the biggest investment trends of our time. Space clearly is one of them. The rise of the Asian consumer is another. That's why I wanted to do it. And then future science we were going to do in June, but we're going to kick it into July. The Wave Genome with Ulrich Groniger. It's going to be exceptional. So it's a great lineup. Cosmology of John Rappaport, then Missing Money, How Would We Write the Movie with with Rob Kirby. And then we go into the wrap-up, starting with news, trends, and stories with Dr. Joseph Farrell. I'm going to be talking a lot more about the AI invasion and what I think is coming. And then, of course, future science will happen sometime in July. So, big lineup. Ladies and gentlemen, until next week when I talk to you from Hickory Valley, Tennessee, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, then you need to start one. Good night and good luck.